You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 17th, 2021, the latest word from Kabul, Afghanistan. A former U.S. defense official says right now the Taliban have a ring outside of the airport, won't let anyone inside. But we're also being told we did evacuate 700 by flight. We were able to get one of the planes off, trying to get more off, and of course clear the runway of anyone out on the runway that will keep planes from coming in to pick up more. Even White House Secretary Jen Psaki apparently came off her vacation. Thank you, Jen. Thanks to you and Joe for finally coming out for something that might be of importance to the nation, the Americans, and the world. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said 11,000 Americans are believed to still be in Afghanistan. 11,000. 11,000. And then we're told that there could be, according to the Pentagon, another 5 to 10,000 outside the Kabul region that are trying to get there. And we do have members of Congress hearing from Americans and Afghan interpreters saying, can you help us? Can you help us? Well, Republican lawmakers are also speaking about how many have reached out to them. But it's not just Republicans. I want to make it clear to you. In fact, Congresswoman Jackie Speier, Democrat, California, said, I'm doing the best I can to help my constituents who are American citizens and others who are interpreters to get out, but they have no way to get to the airport. Well, part of the reason they don't have any way to get to the airport right now is there is a report of a massive traffic jam. Yes, believe it or not, traffic has clogged every artery and route to the airport. So people are abandoning the cars, which means a bigger jam. And what's President Biden doing? He's back at Camp David. The picture posted the other day before he did his speech yesterday, when he came out briefly out of the hole, showed him sitting in front of a large desk with seats for other people to sit there, but it's just him in a room looking at the TV and apparently doing a virtual update from Camp David, getting information from his folks. I will insist again, the president does not have to be at the White House to conduct official business, but it is the optics. But I don't know that Joe even understands optics right now, because he could stand there and look directly at you, the American people, and saying, we have done this correctly. It's not our fault. It's Trump. Yes, Trump did want to get the troops out as well. He made it clear. He did a deal with the Taliban, said, we're going to try to be out by May 1 if you hold to your deals. Well, once Biden came in, they didn't care what they signed with Trump. Trump's remarks is not that we left Afghanistan. It's a grossly incompetent way we did it. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, saying Biden's lack of leadership will cause issues, troubles for us for decades. In the meantime, we're getting a report that the Pentagon says something like 22,000 Afghans might be flown to the States to give them safe harbor. Democrats rushing forward take advantage of that. Democrats, mass migration activists, pleading with Biden, open our border to the flood of Afghans. We have an obligation, AOC wrote. We have an obligation, Congresswoman Bush of Missouri. We have a duty to save lives. They're all about getting them in here, and they are not looking at it from a humanitarian view, believe me. They're looking at it as a possible vote, but it could blow up in their face if that's what they're doing. In Haiti, they are now estimating about 1.2 million, including 500,000 children, are still suffering from that 7.2 quake that struck Saturday morning. 1,400 confirmed dead. Hawaii's lieutenant governor threatening another round of economic and travel restrictions to stop the spread of coronavirus, saying we're going to have to do it because we got people on the island who will not be vaccinated. They refuse to be vaccinated, so I think we're going to maybe shut the whole island down again. And in New Zealand, The country's under a national lockdown. Under a national lockdown because of one case of COVID. One case. Shut it down. Under level four, the highest level, everyone's required to stay home. That's in New Zealand. Waiting for it to come to your country and your area, it could be any day. Oh, by the way, I'm going to deal with more of the COVID issues and mandates and how some of the left progressives are making money and having fun because of these new COVID mandates. All at your expense, my friend. And they love taking advantage of you because they are special. You're not.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse, and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
After 20 years, I've learned the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces. That's why we're still there. We were clear-eyed about the risk. We planned for every contingency. But I always promised the American people that I would be straight with you. The truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated. So what's happened? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country. The Afghan military collapsed, sometime without trying to fight. If anything, the developments of the past week reinforced that ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan now was the right decision. American troops cannot and should not be fighting in a war and dying in a war that Afghan forces are not willing to fight for themselves.
So said President Biden yesterday. And saying the buck stops here, and I learned over 20 years, he didn't learn anything. And when he said the buck stops here, the first thing he then starts to do is point the finger at Trump, saying it's all because of Trump. He didn't learn anything, and he's not taking the blame. He is not going to take the blame. I'm going to remind you, back in when he was campaigning, he was on a campaign promise at that time. I mean, they did a little slick ad saying that the buck stops here. That's right. They were doing a whole campaign over it, quoting Harry Truman. Like Harry Truman, I believe, When I'm in that chair and I'm in the Oval Office, the buck stops here. Let me read you a part of what he had to say at that campaign promise. Promise. It's hard to believe this has to be said, but unlike this president, talking about Trump at that point, but unlike this president, I'll do my job and take responsibility. I won't blame others, and I'll never forget that the job isn't about me. It's about you. Don't hold your laughter, folks. I have more to come. Just wait a minute. You might start laughing right away. Or shouting in anger. I understand. But there you heard Biden say, well, we anticipated all this. But then again, yeah, it did unfold more quickly than we anticipated. In other words, you didn't really anticipate. To that point, Congressman McCarthy of California says Biden's past record should tell you everything you need to know.
Remember what Secretary of Defense Robert Gates said about Joe Biden, that he's been wrong on almost every foreign policy decision for the last four decades. He just cost the rest of this nation, for our allies, for our adversaries, what they're going to do. And remember what Joe Biden said as vice president. His advice was not to go in and get bin Laden. This is the decision that he has made once again, but it causes problems for decades.
For decades. Yeah, I'm glad he reminded us of that. Biden was not in favor of going after Osama bin Laden. And my guest in the previous hour pointed out that when Obama's trying to decide what to do about Afghanistan after he got in, General Petraeus and others were telling him, we need 80,000 troops, shock troops sent in, let's clean them out now, we've got control, let's do it now and be done with it. And he was thinking about doing it, but then Biden, along with Ron Emanuel, and campaign director David Axelrod, who are both politicians, so's Biden for that point, and Obama, but they were looking at the political fallout. Oh, no. Democrats would never support you sending that many troops in because they're still looking to Bush and pointing to Bush and what he did with Iraq and sending forces in to look for weapons of mass destruction. Remember, we didn't find any, remember? That was not my statement. I was quoting them because I say we did find weapons of mass destruction because we did uncover more gas products that he'd used against his own people. That is a weapon of mass destruction. No one said we're going to go in and find nuclear weapons. Not one person said we're going to go in and find nuclear weapons. We're going after weapons of mass destruction. Yes, a nuclear weapon would be one, but so is gas. But that's what Biden was telling Obama at that point. 2009, no, you can't do it. And my guest pointed out in the last hour, so that paralyzed Obama. He didn't know what to do. So finally he made a decision, okay, I'll send in 30,000, which was not enough to get the job done, put more Americans in danger, and it, again, was an aimless mission. But, of course, Biden is now president. You knew that, didn't you? Let me put it this way. He's posing as president right now. He did come out of the Camp David vacation retreat to address the public yesterday and tell you, I'm here.
I am president of the United States of America, and the buck stops with me. When I came into office, I inherited a deal that President Trump negotiated with the Taliban. The choice I had to make as your president was either to follow through on that agreement or be prepared to go back to fighting the Taliban in the middle of the spring fighting season. We were clear-eyed about the risk. We planned for every contingency, but the truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated.
Didn't he just say, the buck stops here, and the very next words out of his mouth, but Trump, yada, yada, yada. I don't recall Harry Truman ever saying the buck stops here. But you know what they left me with? You know what FDR, all the rest of them, he didn't do that. But here was again, Biden had decided to buy into the 9/11 date as a withdrawal. And everything was working to that. And the Taliban knew once Biden set a date, he was probably going to try to live by it. But it was going to be a symbolic thing for Biden to have all of our troops out by 9/11, the 20th anniversary of the attack upon our nation. Well, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, says here's what your symbolism is now.
Certainly, there is no reason why Joe Biden had to rush our troops and our contractors and other support personnel out of Afghanistan in the middle of the fighting season, aside from the fact that he wanted the political symbolism of having all Americans out by September 11th. Now, the political symbolism will be the Taliban flag flying over what once was the U.S. embassy on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. This is entirely a debacle of Joe Biden's making.
Yes, it is. And we have others rushing in to take advantage of it already. I told you yesterday how China had quickly sent word to the Taliban, we will be willing to work with you. We will consider working together moving forward. Biden is trying to push back, at least in words which mean really nothing. Words mean nothing to the Chinese communists, nor Russia, nor Taliban, nor ISIS, nor Al-Qaeda. But the official U.S. statement we issued reads, we have an abiding interest in peace and stability. Of course, they're trying that this message is also intended not just to China, but to Taiwan and Hong Kong and others who rely on us. So the official statement, as China was saying, we are going to be willing to work with the Taliban in Afghanistan, and we're trying basically telling them to try to stay out and keep in mind that we are not going to have you dictate to us what happens in the Taiwan Strait. It's central to security and stability of the Indo-Pacific region. And China just, oh, what's for dinner? Many in the media yesterday, even those on the left, were criticizing Biden for that speech and his entire effort and what he's done, especially the pullout. I think most of us would agree that we wanted to get out. We want to get our troops out. We don't want to spend more lives there and continue. I've said that repeatedly. I think on that we could all agree. But how you withdraw, that was the whole point that President Trump, or former President Trump, said, reference to what Biden did. He said, we all wanted to get out, but the execution of it. And as Senator Cotton said, your symbolism now will be the Taliban flag flying over our U.S. embassy, what was our U.S. embassy. There's your symbolism. So you had many, even on the left side of the aisle, politicians and media, not happy with what Biden's done and the way he did it. But then you've got others that were praising him. In fact, in the last hour, in case you missed it, I ran a little clip from Brian Williams on MSNBC talking about, wow, look at Biden. He owned it. He really owned it. He stepped up and he owned it. And his guest, former CIA analyst Matt Zeller, said, well, is he going to own the deaths also? But then also on MSNBC, here was Nicole Wallace. And I mean, she cannot heap enough praise onto Biden's address. I mean, can I have seconds and thirds, please?
Just in the last hour, we heard President Joe Biden address the nation with firm resolve, unapologetically defending his decision to withdraw U.S. forces from Afghanistan after two decades, saying the buck stops with him. But that he was not willing to put Americans through more years in America's longest war.
The events we're seeing now are sadly proof that no amount of military force would ever deliver a stable, united, secure Afghanistan, as known in history as the graveyard of empires. I'm now the fourth American president to preside over war in Afghanistan, two Democrats and two Republicans. I will not pass this responsibility on to a fifth president. I will not mislead the American people by claiming that just a little more time in Afghanistan will make all the difference.
A confident commander-in-chief, confident in his position as the picture in Afghanistan grows grimmer by the hour.
Yeah, she couldn't quite rule out the picture. The video images were so in your face, hundreds, if not thousands, swarming across the tarmac at Kabul, where they couldn't get planes off the ground to evacuate, couldn't bring planes in to help people get out. But what she wanted to also do is point out something Biden said that she said, you know, I think here's where Americans will side with Biden, even though leftist media might not.
95% of the American people will agree with everything he just said. 95% of the press covering this White House will disagree. And for an American president to finally be completely aligned with such an overwhelming majority of what the American people think about Afghanistan is probably a tremendous relief to the American people.
Oh, absolutely. We're all relieved. And so's Taliban. She's talking about that 95% of Americans would agree we want to pull out of Afghanistan. Trump agreed with that. He was ready to do it on a timetable that would make sense, which was going to be May 1, as long as the Taliban honored the agreements. But since Trump was no longer president, starting with Biden's administration, Taliban said, to hell with your agreements. We'll do what we want. You also heard Biden throw some of the shade and the blame upon the Afghan forces caving and turning and walking away, running away. That is a legitimate point, but at the same time, this former CIA analyst says you really need to take a bigger look and a closer look at that picture.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The idea that the Afghan military should be blamed for this, do you know how many casualties the Afghan military took in an average year? More than the United States did in 20. When you're not getting paid on a regular basis, when you're not getting fuel, when no one is supplying you with ammunition, and yet you're still showing up to the fight, how dare us for having to blame these people for not having the audacity to be able to survive a Taliban onslaught? No. What we need to be doing right now, and what I am appalled that the president didn't say, was we need to be talking about how we're going to get every single one of these people out.
Those are the words of Matt Zeller, former CIA analyst, Army vet, who appeared on MSNBC and chastised Brian Williams as they talked about, oh, Biden's speech, he didn't run from it. He owned it. He owned the fact. The buck stops with him. And Zeller said, well, I hope he gets to own their deaths, too. And he dealt with that issue that the Afghan army abandoning the fight. Yes, we left a lot of equipment there, helicopters, guns, ammunition, and it was for them to use to fight the Taliban. And if they're abandoning and leaving it, well, now it's in the hands of the Taliban. And I cautioned about this yesterday. I said, it's one thing for us to sit here and say they should have been in the field engaging and fighting all the time. And Matt Zeller just pointed out that the casualty rate among the Afghan fighters, the military, much higher than we suffered over 20 years. We lost 2,300 plus American lives in Afghanistan over 20 years. But he said they lost that basically in 1 year. He didn't like basically them being akin to cowards. But you also have to keep in mind, they're fighting in their country. And if they're identified, the Taliban knows where they can find out where they live, where their family is, and go after them while they're still in the field fighting. So some of them probably do say, forget it, I'm going to protect my family. There's no way we're going to win. So, yes, I'm going to drop my gun. I'm going to go home and join my family and maybe join the Taliban. I know on one hand for us, it's, oh, you can't do that. Well, you can be as strong as you want to be until someone threatens to take your child or your sister and subject them to horrors you don't even want to consider. And if they're lucky, in the end, they'll kill them quickly. The other issue we're facing with the Taliban now controlling Afghanistan, the Taliban has been very active in the heroin trade. 71% of the opium production coming out of Afghanistan is in the southwest region, and they've been escalating the opium poppy cultivation this last year or so by up to 37% or more. They've been using that money, of course, to fuel their fight against the government in Afghanistan. I'm looking at a piece from Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, which obviously is not your favorite conservative outlet, pointing out that more than 80% of the global opium and heroin come from Afghanistan. And we spent $8 billion over 15 years trying to shut all that down, but we have not been successful. And now with the Taliban in control, you watch how fast that escalates and how much of that money they'll make off of selling, transporting, smuggling will end up going to funding more terrorist activities. As Congressman McCarthy said, the way we pulled out of Afghanistan just told the rest of the world that we don't really know what we're doing, and that's going to haunt us for decades. This fact that they're going to control the opium fields is also going to be an issue. I would think we should consider airstrikes against those fields, do what we can with them. We'll see. Of course, while all this is underway, you still have to worry day to day, what am I going to do about my child, my family, about when it comes to mask or vax? Should I get one? Should I not? Are we going to be denied something? And in some cases, you might be locked down, not allowed if you don't show a vaccine doc. Are you actually going to bend just because they said that? There is a value to vaccine. There is a value to mask. And as someone said the other day, if the tree is like grown adults, maybe more of us would do it. But we'll get into that subject in the next segment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The governor of Florida is violating the rule of holes. You know the rule of holes? When you find yourself in a hole, stop digging?
Right.
He has dug himself an enormous hole in Florida, and he has handcuffed himself. He has removed the tools that a governor has to try and suppress a pandemic like this, enforcing masking requirements, closing down crowded venues, incentivizing people either positively or negatively to get vaccinated. He's removed all of these tools, and he's found himself in a deep, deep hole, yet he keeps digging.
He keeps digging. That's Jonathan, Dr. Jonathan Reiner, as he appeared with Jim Acosta on CNN, saying, look at what DeSantis is doing. He's a fool. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's digging a hole. He's violating the rule of the holes. You're in a hole. You just keep digging. You're not going to get out of it. Let me take that same analogy and apply it to Biden and our border. And if you recall the other day, DeSantis said in a piece that I certainly applaud, basically to Biden, you don't say blip to me about COVID mandates in my state until you close the border. Do you see any of the Democrats demanding that we shut down the border and stop the COVID spread or the Delta variant or whatever else is coming across the border? Do you see any of them saying, yeah, if we're going to be worried about super spreaders, that is the super spreader? They have reported more cases in Florida as they had in Texas. And I'll take you back months ago, and I told you that if you see a spike in those areas in Arizona and even in California, it's going to be because of border crossers coming in. And we know that now. But again, they want to preach and say, you do what we tell us because we say so. So there they are. They're, again, saying mandates are the way to go. And when it comes to Florida, the governor is having some problems down there, obviously. He has the school board defying his masking ban. They said, we're not going to go by that. So we're going to see where that goes. I mean, there's already a talk about maybe is there some way for the state legislature to cut down some funding and so forth for the schools if they're violating and putting in a mandate when the governor says we're not going to have mandates in our state. We're going to allow people to make their own decisions. I don't know where you stand, and I say, as always, you do what is best for you and your family. But we have been pitted against each other again over this kind of issue. Now, some people say it is common sense to wear a mask. I'm not going to dispute it point blank, but I'm going to raise questions that maybe some just don't want to get around to discussing. So tell me how it is common sense to wear a mask when you're in a car by yourself. Tell me how it's common sense to wear a mask when you're outside walking in the park and there's no one within 300 yards of you. And I have to admit, I try not to judge people, but when I see someone with a mask, I think, well, you know, maybe they have an issue, maybe not. But then again, I'm wondering, do they really believe that, or are they just following and they're afraid to step out and show that they're not going to? I walked into a store the other day. No longer had to be required to wear a mask in there. I don't. Says you have to be vaccinated. No one's asked me yet. And I told you previously, the day they asked me, show me your vaccine documentation, I'm going to show me your health card shows you don't have any venereal disease or something. I can fire back just as fast. Now, again, I encourage you to get a vaccine or use a mask or both if that's decision you make with you and your health care provider and your family. That's your decision. That's what DeSantis is trying to say. But you've got a perfect example here out of California, a CBS News YouGov survey just coming out. 1,800 California adults. I don't know who they're calling an adult in California. I'm not going to get into that. But 59% of the fully vaccinated Californians said unvaccinated people are putting my people like me and family at risk. 57% said the unvaccinated are being misled by bad or false information. 27% said, well, we respect their decision to do what they want to do. So a majority of those in California support vaccine mandates and everything that comes with it. And asked if stores, restaurants, entertainment venues should require you to be vaccinated and show proof to enter the facilities, 61% said yes. You know how tough it's getting in New Zealand? Did you plan a trip to New Zealand? Well, you might need to reconsider. They just put the country under a national lockdown, in effect for at least 3 days, alert level 4, the highest lockdown in the country, starting midnight tonight. Lockdown, because they have found one case of COVID. One case. Meanwhile, back in the States, or at least closer, kind of halfway between New Zealand and the U.S., Hawaii. The Lieutenant Governor Josh Green threatening another round of economic and travel restrictions. And again, he's blaming those residents on the island who will not get vaccinated. He said it's a small minority that is otherwise condemning society to a lockdown and potentially large-scale death. You know, again, when I tell you that they insist that you follow the science, do they really mean medical science or political science? He just said condemning society to a lockdown. Well, and that is true if you're going to make those decisions, and potentially large-scale death. Now, we've had a lot of people die, and I told you, shared with you, a close member of my family died of COVID. Someone I thought would be not susceptible at all, much less fatal. That's why I encourage you to do what you need to do for you and your family. Well, the lieutenant governor is saying, we got 300 folks hospitalized with COVID and at least 270 unvaccinated. Well, they might have COVID. They might have COVID. Or they might have the Delta variant. I don't know if he's trying to break out the difference or not. And the Delta variant spreads a little faster and easier. At one time, it had been it had been compared to the spread of measles and chickenpox, how fast it can spread. But generally not fatal. Might make you feel a little bad, maybe a little worse than others, but generally not fatal. But if you listen to him, if you get it, you're going to die. Many will not. And children are among the least susceptible as far as getting a fatal reaction. And, of course, then there's concern about reaction to the immunizations. And they're talking about adding booster shots. Now, in the midst of all of this, we have a lot on the left, the progressives in particular, that are finding a way to make some money while we're doing this. You want an example? Oh, I'll give you one. Massachusetts Congressman Ivana Pressley. She has been one of the ones that was stating, in fact, I've got a tweet she put out in December 2020, and she introduced a bill in March that would have done the same thing. Her tweet said, we must cancel rent, extend eviction and foreclosure moratoriums, provide rental assistance and other legal representation for those at risk of eviction. And then her bill that she was pushing forward to cancel rent and mortgage payments nationwide said, with the impact of this pandemic, the threat of eviction and homelessness, we must take every measure to make sure that no one is evicted. That is Congresswoman Pressley. The same one, by the way, who disclosed rental income between $5,000 and $15,000, property she and her husband own. Yeah, they're getting rental money, $15,000, same in 2020 as they did in 2019. So they apparently aren't evicting anybody. They're apparently still taking money in and have been. The law is not for them. It's for you. Don't you understand that? And, of course, you remember Congresswoman Cori Bush, Democrat, Missouri, freshman, member of the squad, doing her bit on the Capitol Hill steps, sleeping outside until she forced Biden to push forward a moratorium on evictions again. Remember that? And, of course, she got caught the other day about also insisting that defund the police while she spent $70,000 on private security for herself. But back up, here comes the next part of the story, the next chapter. Doubleday Publishing, giving her a book deal worth $100,000 before she even finishes her first term in office. $100,000 to write a book. Why? I don't know. If you spend the money on it, you have to tell me, because I'm not spending a dime on the book. More on the Taliban when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This would have never happened under President Trump, the scenario of what transpired. They would have stopped what was moving forward. This Biden administration said they planned for every scenario. They told us 2 days prior that Kabul was not imminent. He told us less than a month before that this would never happen. I was in those intel briefings. We knew this would transpire. Why didn't he stop it? He blamed everybody but the Taliban. Mm-hmm. And what's even worse here is this isn't about leaving. This is about American legacy and Biden's lack of leadership. This will last for decades.
For decades. The words of Congressman Kevin McCarthy, minority House leader from California, Republican, saying, I was in those intel meetings. I can tell you, we got all the information we knew. We knew what would happen if we did it this way. I'm looking at a piece written by Ben Dominic. He is a publisher of The Federalist. Headline, we all should be appalled by what is happening in Afghanistan. And he begins by saying, for all the fractionists about Afghanistan over the past 20 years, finally there is unity in this opinion. What a disaster. The situation in Kabul seems hellish. People literally falling out of the wheel wells of C-130s, desperate to get out. The idea that a delay from the original timeline for departure would enable the U.S. and our allies to prepare looks ludicrous in hindsight. Instead, moving the exit into the fighting season, allowing the Taliban more time to prepare. And where is Joe Biden in all of this? On vacation. As is Jen Psaki, the White House spokeswoman. What a time for away messages. Yeah, Psaki issued a statement as well, but she didn't go back to the White House. Biden actually had to get in the helicopter, leave Camp David, go to D.C., walk in, deliver a speech, and turn on his heels, not take question one, and walk back out. Now he's back in the sanctuary of the Camp David, and I'm telling you, I've raised this question. I'm going to continue to raise it. For all through the weekend, we saw and heard nothing from the man. Was he being medicated at that time? Was something going on? But anyway, back to Dominic's article, Ben Dominic, a publisher of The Federalist. He said a key question is here. Did Biden believe what he was saying? He's talking about the press conference yesterday. Did Biden believe what he was saying? Go back to the speech he did over the past 2 years. Yank out all of his promises about it, his denial of responsibility, assurance that Afghans would fight. He said the media coverage here is embarrassing as they try to scramble to make up for their prior efforts. They denounce Trump over and over again for wanting to pull out, but as soon as a Democrat gets in, they're totally fine with it. And a big part of their reaction today of hands-in-the-air frustration is how bad the Biden administration made them look. And he adds this, it's not about the actual consequences. Is that they carried the water for this group, being professionals, and Trump's crew being fools, and now they look like a bunch of idiots. He's absolutely right. And they were always carrying the water for Biden, Obama, all of it. We know that. And he says one key point I keep returning to is it didn't have to be this way. He said the false choice here was option A, stay there forever. Option B, this. And he says, but there was an option C. Dominic's been listening to my program as well. I told you, plan A doesn't work. That's why we got 25 other letters in the alphabet. I don't know where the Biden administration is right now in reference to Taliban, if they're reaching Z yet. They're getting close to it. But anyway, Dominic goes on to say there was option C, which you might think of as Jacksonian withdrawal, kind of like burning down Atlanta. Precision bomb the hell out of every Taliban camp on the way out the door, render every Humvee unusable, burn every piece of material, let the Afghans line up and execute every ISIS terrorist at Bagram, our air base. We have once again allowed a bunch of really nasty people to go free and kill again. Why do we need to do that? Well, we don't need to. And, of course, in the midst of all of this, we find out that there are those in the media that are still going to find a way to try to excuse this disaster. Congressman McCarthy and others who have said the same thing are right. This is going to haunt us for decades. Our enemies, specifically the terrorist groups in China and Russia, they're watching, they're mocking, they're laughing. And even some of our entertainers, CBS Late Show Stephen Colbert last night saying, hey, why should we have our soldiers fighting radicals in Afghanistan? We've got our own radicals, terrorists on Capitol Hill. Now, he didn't call the event of those taking part in Capitol Hill radicals and terrorists, but the audience got it. They all laughed. How dare he cross that line, say what took place at Capitol Hill, as bad as it was, unpatriotic, should not happen, and equate it to fighting terrorists in Afghanistan or anywhere around the world? I would say he should be ashamed, but in many cases they have no shame. Thank you as always for joining us. Let your friends and neighbors know about this program. You are helping it explode, and I appreciate it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.